Praise the Lord. You happy to be in God's house? Say amen. If you're saved and you know it, say amen. If you're saved and you're happy about it, say amen. Appreciate the Spirit of the Lord that we already feel in the house tonight. Love the Lord. Makes a difference when you can say that with an undivided heart. You know, I sing that song all the time. An undivided heart. Lord, give me an undivided heart. That's what I want. That's what I have to live for, to be completely sold out for you. I actually read a chapter in the Bible where my mom had wrote a little note. And she said that you keep the faith and God will keep you. And that's true even for today. You keep on keeping on, like they say, God will surely keep you. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of 1 Peter 5, verse 7. I'm going to try to get through this. It's going to be a little difficult. But the Lord is good. Amen. And His mercy does endure forever. In preparing for this sermon, it had been a few months now since I've preached, and I was really calling the Lord to show me and tell me what He really wanted me to say. And just to be real and frank, with every preacher, they want to be awesome. I'm not going to lie to you. They want to get behind this pulpit and they want to wow the thousands with their words and their eloquent speech and their deep thoughts. And I kept reading this scripture and I said, Lord, where's the wow? and it's awesome scripture anyway. And God's word is always like that. But the human side of me was wanting to write down something just theological profound, man. I'm telling you, just show off the 4 years of Ozark Bible Institute. But the Lord very simply, maybe because I'm simple, directed me this scripture. And if you would mind stand for the reading of God's word, we'll read 6 also. The word of the Lord says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Saying this, and this is where we'll focus tonight, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Casting all your care upon Him, because He cares for you. Make it personal. Believe that personal. You. Because He cares about what you're going through. Amen. I think Pastor Hurst said when he was preaching on this scripture one time, don't care about what you're going through, but let He who cares about you carry what you care about. And I like that. Let Him, and the end run, let Him care about what you care about. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we pray tonight that you would shock our minds to the truth. Lord, I don't want to say anything that would be an embarrassment to the ministry, Lord, but I believe that tonight, even tonight, Lord, that you have a plan, that you have a purpose for this altar call. Lord, I pray that you would do hearts, Lord, that you would do something in the hearts of the believers, that we would closer our walk with you, precious and holy. Praise the Lord. If you haven't responded to the Haiti response, please, we have more up here. More of the listing of what you can buy. Let me get situated here. I have a family member that is trying real hard to keep his New Year's resolution. And so three nights out of the week, I'll give you a hint, they're not here. Everybody was looking at Brian like, what's he doing? But they're, you know, working out and lifting weights and watching what they eat and all that that goes into keeping your New Year's resolution, whatever it might be. For him, it's, I guess, getting fit and big or whatever. But he was telling me a story, and I usually go and work out with him every now and then. But for some reason, there was I couldn't make it, or we had to go somewhere or something. And he did it by himself. And this night happened to be bench press night. And I don't know if anybody has worked out here. Only a few know what I'll probably say. But when you bench press, that's when you lay on your back and you have the weight right here on the bar and you lift the bar up and you go up and down like this several times with a bunch of weight. You don't want to really do that by yourself. Especially a man doesn't really want to do that by himself, because I say that because men tend to think that they're awesome or they have more muscles than they really do. And so this family member decides to work out anyway by himself. And I wasn't there to spot him or to help him if he gets in trouble. And he put so much weight on there that he went to pick it up and immediately, and with all of his grunting and with all of his moaning that he wanted to do and his arms just giving it everything that he had, his face was turning red, could not get the weight off of his chest. And I was thinking about that. There's so many people that are underneath the load. And even in this church house, you know, it would be really silly to think that people came here not having any cares of the life, especially on the shoulders, in their hearts, trying to do what's right, trying to be in the house of God when it's called to meeting, and still coming in the house with the cares and underneath the load. And I was thinking about that. You know, how not smart, we won't call him stupid, but how not smart it was for him to try to carry the load on his life. So many of us in our life are desperately trying to lift the load that we have on our hearts and in our lives all by ourselves. And all the while, God is just telling us and reminding us, you do have a spotter, amen. You do have somebody that would be willing to help you out in the times when it's hard. And it's right here, he tells you, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Like, the God that I serve wants to care for you when you have the cares of life on yourself. Amen. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that when we need a relief, when we need just a place to lay down the weight and to take a deep breath because it feels so awesome to let this go, that God has provided the way out already. And he's reminding us once again that if you are going through something that you might not be able to handle on your own, even if you can't handle on your own, do it right and cast upon me. I'm thankful that I serve a God that says, won't you just go ahead and sit it here? Sit upon my lap, because I'm well able to take care of it. I'm well able to do exceedingly and abundantly above that you can ask or even can think. What an invitation from the Lord to think that he can just take exactly what you are going through, as diverse and as a big of multiplicity that we have of needs all across this house. What means important to you, God is able to take care of it. Praise the Lord. What affects you may not affect me, but it all affects Jesus Christ. And he said, what you're going through, I'm well able to take care of it. And you can cast it upon me, because I care for you. What are these cares, you might ask? Sometimes the cares that we have are feelings of concern. Sometimes they're burdens of responsibility. Husbands might know of that. I'm soon to know of that. The responsibility of taking care of your house, Brother Michael. Paying the bills. A decision that you might have to make. A trouble that you might be burdened with. A grief that you might have to daily wake up to. Cares of life. Cares of life. Christ referred to cares of life when he told the parable of the sower. You remember that?
When he talked about the sower spreading seed upon the ground, and he went through the different stages of ground, and he said he spread the seed to the thorny ground. And Christ compared the thorny ground to the cares of life. And what does that thorny ground do when the seed is pressed upon, you could say, out of our lives? It'll zap the very nourishment from what we experience. The cares of life can take its toll upon our life and upon our heart. I believe that. You think about it, where you're at, and to think about when you really don't express a whole lot to a whole lot of people, and you don't want to go there. Think about that time. Think about that care, and how you just felt so broken. I felt so tired, felt so inapt, inadequate, whatever word you want to call it, you felt it, and it was real. The cares of life can choke out the possible experiences with the Lord that you have. You come to the house of the Lord, I can't really worship because it's so heavy. I can't really call. Think about us, how hard this is to get off. And all along, all the while, God is just wanting to remind you one more time, when you feel like that, I'm able. When you feel that all you can do is cry yourself to sleep, when you feel that all you can do is grunt and moan and it doesn't amount to nothing because it's not going anywhere, God says, cast them upon me. Cast your cares upon me, for he careth for you. Amen. He also mentioned the cares of life, what they would do to you. They would choke you. They would zap you of your nourishment, leaving you tired. We already said that. But also, they would fog. Well, how do I want to express this? They would fog your experiences on what we should be looking for to the Lord. And I mean, and I said, I didn't say it very clearly, but what the cares of life will do to you will cause you not to look upon the Lord like you should, and look for His coming like you should. The Bible says that we gotta be watching and ready. And if all the time that we're just focusing upon the bad things in life, and focusing on how hard it is to live, and focusing upon the bad and the negative and all this, how can we really focus upon what God's wanting us to focus on? And that's His coming. We got to be reminded that this world is not our home. We're pilgrims passing through. What we go through is only temporal. No, that's not the word. Temporary. Can I throw that in there? It's only temporary. It's not going to be eternal. And I'm thankful for that. But if we don't learn when we're going through the hard times, if we don't learn to cast our cares upon the Lord, if we don't learn how to let it go, we're not going to know how to have true peace that He can offer. Amen. We have cares. Bills got to be paid. Everybody's got cares. You know that? Everybody's got cares. It's real. The Lord actually said that we would have cares. 1 Peter, if you have it, just on the other page, 4 and 12, it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." It's not strange that we have cares. The strange thing is that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, that we don't allow Him to interact with our cares. It's not strange to go through something. Because I've thought that sometimes, and I don't know if any other melancholies are here, but I think this is how we think, is that there's something must be wrong with me because I'm feeling this way. Because I actually feel this trial going in my life. I pray and I think that I let the Lord have it all, but really I still feel it, and there's just something's got to be wrong with me. But Christ is telling you that that cares of life are going to happen. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. You can't help it. But we can help what we do about it, can't we? We can help that that Christ instructs us to lay it at His feet. And I was thinking about that. You know, I think the hardest thing for me about opening up when something's going on is that I don't want to open up to anybody really if I know that they can't meet my need. You know, sometimes you do that. You know, sometimes you feel like even if I were to tell you and expose and be vulnerable during this time, it wouldn't do no good. And I know that you love me, and yeah, I love you, but really, your limitations, you know, you're human. That you honestly, I don't know that you can meet me where I'm at. That's why I'm thankful that I can preach tonight that it's not cast your cares upon your buddy. It's not cast your cares upon your pastor. And you do need to do that as a representation of God. But it says, cast your cares upon Him. Not to make you look vulnerable. Not to make you feel ignorant or stupid because you're actually going through something. But to make you realize that when you do cast your cares upon me, I'm able to do something about it. I love that fact that God's able to meet me where I'm at. You know, because we've gone through stuff this year. And there's been times where we can't express ourselves to one another. But the one that is able to actually do something about our need is willing and able. Praise the Lord. And He's asking you. Actually, He's commanding you. He says, cast your care upon me, for He careth for you. He loves you. Loves you with an eternal love. Loves you with a love that supersedes all human incapability. You can't get it from anywhere else, so give it to me, Christ says. I'm thankful for that. Praise the Lord. Every age group has their own set of cares. Teenagers have theirs. Peer pressure, all-time high at teenage level. I'm not kidding. It gets better. Middle age was hard, too. Bullies and stuff, being small, not fun. So you try to get hard and, you know, walk around like you the man and stuff. But really, the care, everybody's got their own set of cares. Whether you're in middle age thinking that you want to fit in and be cool, or you're a teenager thinking of, man, where's life going to lead me? Where's all this going to happen? Or getting ready. This is my favorite. As a teenager, getting ready for school, first time you see the mirror, boom, huge zit right on the side of your face. Knowing that this is not cool to have this and try to be in the age group that I am. The ruthless. I'm telling you, I was. I was ruthless. But we all have our cares. Middle aged have theirs. Pre-marriage has theirs. I'm finding that out. That you got your cares. And I'm probably guessing that married life has their own set of cares as well. Are you going to be able to pay the bills? I'm getting laughter all over the place. This is awesome. But y'all know what I'm talking about. That's why you're laughing. It's all right. We can laugh. No matter what you're going through, and this is why it's so awesome that even that all age groups and whoever you are or whatever you're established with, whatever you're going through, this scripture applies to you. You know, whether you be a young person, teenage, engaged, married, middle-aged, elderly, whatever you're going through, Christ has already taken care of that. Christ has already known what you're going to need on a daily basis. And He's taken care of that. And He says, if you, in your situation, would cast your care upon me, I careth for you. I careth for you.
It's really hard to flip pages with one hand, especially your left hand. There's no way that I'm... If I in Brian's Sunday school class, he talked about those preachers. Were you still talking about the perfect church? Yeah, you were. We were talking about the perfect church, and we went around the Sunday school classroom and saying one thing about our perfect church. And nobody said you know, but he said, if you had a perfect church that you went to, what's one thing that you have to have? And people were coming up with different things, you know, and I was sitting over there in the corner. I was like, you got to top them all. You got to say something really awesome. And I said something about tithe or something. It was really... Yeah, it was awesome, actually. You would have amen me, Pastor. But somebody said, and I should have said this. Somebody said, in our perfect church, we have to have Pastor Hurst as the pastor. Amen? Don't we have a good pastor? And actually, Brother Hurst is phenomenal. Not only able to preach the word and not preach like six sermons over and over again, and be like, wow, we heard that one already, but preach in the different styles that he does and the different topics and hits home. But also he's a friend. You know, not just a pastor, not just the head honcho, not just the, you know, the arrogant whatever guy that grabs the microphone and gets the tithe, but he's a friend. And he's a close friend. And a friend that will pray for you. Friend that will cry with you. And so I was thinking about the perfect church and thinking what I wanted the Lord to do. And more so than ever, I'll just go ahead and say it like this. More so than ever, what it's going to take for Union Road to reach perfection, it won't ever happen, but closer, is that we have to start praying like Christ is instructing us to. We have to start really searching for revival again. And I said that because I want to say that when you get closer to the Lord, it's so awesome how minute your cares all of a sudden become. When you get closer to the Lord, and I was thinking about John when he laid his head on the bosom of Christ, he can feel his heartbeat. He could see from his perspective the motions of Christ as he dealt with the supper and dealt with his other. That's a new perspective. That's a new vision. That's something that brings life when you can actually feel the heartbeat of Christ. And I wonder how minute our cares really become when we know how extreme his cares are and how he longs for the world to be saved and humanity to know of him, and how he longs for revival again in his church, and how he longs for an awesome personal relationship with you, not one that just gets a little excited or Pentecostal and then goes back and merges with the world again, but one that is truly dedicated, one that is truly separated for him. Man, I want a new perspective, but it's only going to come if I allow the Lord to take over my cares. Praise the Lord. If I had to title this sermon, I would title it, Who Cares? Not who cares that you're going through something, so have fun, or who cares about you, but who cares? Christ cares. Christ cares. Think about that. The creator of the universe cares. The one that proved it in his resurrection
as he threw the cross around his back, and as he bore sin and guilt for all humanity, he bore the affliction and despair of having to bear that cross and being beaten and shamed. He knew what it was like to take on that grief, and through his resurrection, he said, I'm able to overcome it all. Whatever it was, whatever it is, whatever it's going to be in your life, God is able to take care of you and where you're at. That's what I'm thankful for about the Lord that I serve. And that's what I'm thankful for, that I can preach tonight, that God cares where I'm at. God cares. As hard as the situation I'm going through, or what you're going through, or as impossible as it might seem, God's got it under control if we let Him. Amen. If we let Him. He was despised and rejected of men, man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and was hid, it was our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was brought upon Him. With His stripes, glory to God, we are healed. Amen. When He cares for you, He's got something to prove to you that you've never known. He's got peace that passeth all understanding. How can He do it? Because He's already went through it. Praise the Lord. He's already known what you were going to need even before you knew that you need it. The Lord that I serve is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Praise the Lord. He is able to do it. He's able to do it. Couldn't help but listen to the song over my mind, what my mom sang. He'll do it again. Oh, He'll do it again. He'll do it again. Praise the Lord. Whatever the care is, church, and I'm closing, and however big or great the load is that you bear, God is able to carry your load. Simple. Boom, there it is. He's able to carry your load. But you have to cast it upon Him. He sees you where you're at, and He knows even the frustrations of what you've had to carry. How frustrating it is to not be able to have relief. It's real. He knows that. And God knows how long you've been carrying your load and how tired you are. Man, I've been tired sometimes. Just been tired. But God is able. He's wanting you to realize that you can let it go. Amen. Isn't it a relief when you can let it go? I think what inspired, I guess, if you want to call it, and I wanted to say it before I give the microphone back to Brian, what inspired this sermon was the youth rally over at Brother Setzer's this past Friday or 2 weeks ago, I guess. Brother Calicott preached and did a great job, just an awesome job, and had one of the most simple altar call in the world. You know, I was like getting ready to write it down, and he just said, if you want more of the power of God, come to the altar. And before my eyes, I mean, people everywhere, just going crazy getting the altars. I was like, well, that was awesome. But I got in there, not even going to think to pray for myself, because it's more of a youth rally, so I'm going to pray for our youth. Man, the Spirit of the Lord just came over me. You know, and I haven't really felt the Spirit of the Lord like that in a long time. And I was praying, I was like, Lord, whatever it takes, I want the power that You have to work in me. Man, I want to do missions. I want to save souls. You know, and I want that to be real. I want to experience the power. And God said, lay it down. And I knew what He was talking about. He asked for the pain. To carry the pain. And I didn't want to, because I thought if I did, then I would forget. But once I did, once the Lord really just moved on me, I gave it all to the Lord. And man, He's been helping me ever since. Just awesome. But the awesome thing about it, that also was, is that I guess for a year and a half now, my hips and knees and ankles were just killing me. I mean, I'm only 23, and it didn't make sense how bad they were hurting. Man, I went to the doctor and x-rayed, and they said, "You're fine." And I said, "No, I'm not." Now, there would be days where it would take me about 20 minutes to get out of bed. And just aching, stiff. And I'm telling you, that night, Friday night at that youth rally, when I gave that to the Lord, He did much more than just heal a broken heart. I really felt like He healed my body. I really did. And I haven't. And I kind of wanted to keep it quiet and, you know, put the Lord to the test. We do that sometimes. We're just ignorant. But man, since that Friday, I haven't hurt once. And that's 2 weeks. And there hasn't been a day that went by that I haven't hurt, you know, from a year and a half ago. And when you let the Lord take care of your cares, His care is so much more thorough than you can ever even imagine. I mean, His mindset and His plan for your life is so much more deep and so much more thorough than you could ever even think about. See, I was just wanting the Lord to help me throughout the day. But He did way more than that. I mean, I've been able to sleep because of that. I mean, it's been 3 months solid, and I didn't sleep over 6 hours. I'm working construction, that's not very fun. But the Lord, for 2 weeks, I'm telling you, man, I slept like a little baby. Been coming home, sometimes I took some naps. I sleep so good. But the Lord's able, and I'm telling you what, if you have troubles tonight, cast your cares on the one that can take care of it and watch Him work. I mean, really, just watch the Lord work and say, "You know what, I'm tired." Might be tired, but more so I'm tired of being like this. And I want the Lord to do something about it. Amen. All over the house, would you just lift your hands and ask the Lord to come by. Move in these altars. Lord, I want to be what You want me to be. Amen.
Amen. Sister Carr, are you going to be playing for us tonight? Hallelujah. I want to use the altar call tonight that Jesus used. It's simple. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest." The first thing He said was come. And then He identified who He's talking to. He's talking to you and me. And then He ended it with I. It's always going to end with Jesus. Amen. Tonight, let's just heed the word that we've heard tonight. Let's find a place around these altars. And let's ask our Savior, amen, to do a work in our hearts tonight. Why don't we find a place to pray? Everyone that would. Hallelujah.